Well, good morning to each and every one of you. I'd like to extend the right hand of fellowship to every single one of you this morning in God's peace. Greetings, most of all and most importantly, of grace, mercy, and peace from God Himself and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May they be multiplied or heaped upon each and every one of you today and forever. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, there's four very special people I heard that were watching online, and I would like to give greetings to Epiphania and Astrid and their parents, Marita and Daniel. And Epiphania, happy birthday, one day late. So, but this morning, hour of God's grace, as we have already prayed and we have sung so wonderfully and powerfully the words, even of the hymns, of the resurrection of our God. Today is Resurrection Day. And as we as God's children have gathered here to celebrate and to remember and rejoice in the fact that He has risen. Before I read the scripture text that I have this morning, I want to just read a few verses from another song that we sing that is in our hymnal. It says, the day of resurrection is our holy day, bringing us a lamb who for our sakes was slain. And His holy blood flowed, washed away our sin, clad upon us all the righteousness of Him. Now the grave is open, the temple veil is rent. Heaven also opened, and the way He went. Lifted high, now on high, the flag of victory. Children, hear the message, peace be unto thee. Let us turn to the Holy Word here and read from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with verse 1 through verse 13. And we read these words in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Amen. As I've already said, we've sung and we've prayed, and now we have read of the resurrection. And it's almost beyond, well, it is beyond what we can speak of or even relay in human form what happened today. The power of what happened today through His death and His resurrection. But Apostle Paul, he truly understood what God had accomplished through His Son. I want you to think about this morning. Paul had come to the knowledge of who Jesus was. He had come to the knowledge and realization that this Jesus was the Christ, and that through his death and his resurrection, he had redeemed him. This man who was going about destroying the church of God. Paul, in his former life as Saul, his whole purpose and intent was to destroy God's people. But God, by his power, got a hold of him. And that's what God wants to do for you and for me. And I hope he has already. But he wants to grab a hold of us and show us who he is. And Paul, because he knew this, he took everything that he had and everything, his pride, all the stuff that he had relied on in his former life, and the word says he counted it all as dung. He threw it into the trash heap. Because now there was only one thing that this man desired to know. And oh, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the only thing that God would desire to you to know today too. This is where our hearts should be focused and our minds should be focused as we walk through this life. That we would know the power of Jesus' resurrection. That we'd understand and have the fellowship of his sufferings, all being made conformable unto his death. That's what we need to have, and that's what we need to know, if by any means we might obtain unto the resurrection of life. Moses, that great servant of old, he understood that same thing. The word tells us that he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And in so doing, in knowing that, he had come to the knowledge of, again, who Moses knew who Jesus was. He understood what that promise was. He understood who it was and what he was and what he was going to accomplish. And therefore, because of that, Moses, it says, he walked away from everything that this world had to offer. He was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Everything that the world in his time had to offer was laid right at his feet. All power, all glory, that any man, everything that a man could wish for in this life was his. But he wouldn't have anything to do with it. Because as we already said, he understood who Jesus was. And he walked away from everything that the world had. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And then God calls him out of there. And he gives him a much more difficult task. It was to lead a stubborn and a stiff-necked people for 40 years out into the wilderness. But he understood who Jesus was. He knew who his Redeemer was. He knew who it was who was going to come into the world and to suffer and to die and rise again for him. He looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And that's where God wants every one of us to be today. That our eyes would be off of this world. That our eyes would be removed from our pride and from who we are. And our eyes would be focused on the center cross of Calvary and to that resurrection morn, the crucified and the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about, as we've already heard, quoted from the first 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the gospel message, the message which he has been called, he was set aside to preach. He said the very first and most important thing that anyone could know. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." He says, keep in your memory, my dear brothers and sisters, what I have preached unto you. Because if you don't keep this in memory, you have believed in vain. And he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's what God wants us to know and never forget. The very first things that should be in our hearts and our minds at all times is that God, Christ, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on and he tells us later on in this 15th chapter, because there were those who were going around saying there was no resurrection. You know, the early church got in all kinds of trouble because they preached the resurrection. People hated that. And there's a reason why they hated it. It's because the power in the resurrection is this. When Christ arose from the dead, he was declared, the word tells us, that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. When Christ rose up from the dead, what he said through his resurrection is, I am God. And he said, what I accomplished for you on the center cross of Calvary was sufficient to take away every single one of your sins. He proved it through his resurrection. But there were those who didn't want to believe that he was God. They wanted to believe in other gods. And he writes here, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he has raised up not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, from your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, the word tells us. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And I'm going to borrow the words of an elder preacher in our federation. Some of you have heard this, but it will be good for us to hear it again. And some of you have never heard this, and it will be good for you to hear it. An elder brother, Wilford Sicula, a few years ago in Ironwood, he opened one of the meetings there with these words. He was talking about the first verse of the fifth chapter of the first epistle of the Apostle John, where it says that those who believe that Jesus is Christ are born of God. And this is why the early people in these days hated the teaching of the resurrection, because they wanted to believe in other gods. But anyhow, he said there was four. He wanted to talk about four men who people worship in this world. And one of them is a man named Confucius. Those of you who are a little older have heard the sayings of Confucius says. He was a man who thousands of people worshipped, and maybe you still do today. But he died, and he was buried, and he is still in his tomb. There's another man that people worship today named Muhammad. Thousands of people, one of the largest religions in the world, one of the great, fastest expanding religions in the world today. And this man died and was buried, and his tomb is still occupied. There's another man named Buddha, whom thousands of people in this world still worship today. And he died and was buried, and his tomb is still occupied. There's another man that people worship, and that man is Jesus the Christ. And he died and was buried, but his tomb is not occupied. He rose from the dead. And in his doing, as we've already said, he declared to the entire world that I am God. And that's why the world even today hates the preaching of Jesus Christ. They don't care if you talk about God, but oh, do they get upset when you start to talk about Christ? Because Satan hates Jesus. And he doesn't want any one of you to come to him. Because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and he rose again, he destroyed the power of Satan. He stripped Satan of everything that he had. And Satan then, when we talk about Christ, man does not want to hear it. But God he is God. He is risen. So let us give him all honor and all glory and all praise this morning for who he is and what he has done. But as we get into our text here, and it says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene And Mary and the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. This lady's name is written all through the scriptures and accounts of the crucifixion and the resurrections, Mary Magdalene. She is a woman who loved her Lord with a great love. She was standing afar off with the other ones as he died on the center cross of Calvary. She followed with some of the other ladies as Jesus was taken down from the cross and put into the tomb. And here you see her as she waited with the other ladies, probably very impatiently through the Sabbath as our Lord rested for the only day, the only few hours of rest he ever had as a man in this world. And now, at this day begins to dawn on resurrection morn, with love in her heart, love and great sorrow, because she did not realize he had risen, she comes to the tomb. And you know why this woman loved Jesus so much? We read it this morning. Jesus had cast 7 devils out of her. The word tells us that he who has been forgiven much loves much. I want to ask you this morning, do you know how much you have been forgiven? I know this for a fact. God has cast a lot more than 7 devils out of me. He loves you because of his overwhelming love for her, because of what he had done for her through the work of reconciliation. She had one desire and one desire only, to do everything that she could do for her Lord. And along with her were these other women. Mary is called the mother of James, who is the sister of the mother of our Lord. Her name is Maria, from what I can tell. And then Salome, the mother of the wife of Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's children, James and John, was there. The sons of thunder, they say. The women, that's one thing about women. They have a heart that a lot of us guys don't have. But they were the first there on resurrection morn. And then Mary Magdalene, as the scripture tells us, was the first to meet our risen Lord. But they come there desiring to do what they can for their Lord. And it was yet dark. It was very early in the morning, the first day of the week. They come into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" There's a great big stone had been put upon that, over that sepulcher's door. They had put a seal upon it and sealed it with the seal of the Roman Empire. And they had stationed outside of it guards so that no man could get into that tomb. And the ladies, as they were walking there, they were talking amongst themselves, how are we going to roll that stone away? It's too great. But there was something else that happens that the Gospel of Matthew tells us, that God sent an angel down from heaven. And when that angel's feet stood upon the earth, the ground trembled as he rolled the stone away from the door. And he said upon it, it says that there was a great earthquake. And it says the guards there in Matthew fell as if dead. They fainted out of sheer terror. When the angel, in his great and bright glory, which was the glory of God, which was radiating from him, when we, my dear brothers and sisters, when we truly see who God is, this angel come from the presence of the Almighty, and the glory of God was radiating from him. I don't think a lot of us understand how glorious God is. Those guards got a little glimpse of the glory of our Lord, and they fainted as dead on the ground. And that angel then sat on that stone as if to say, go ahead and try to close this tomb again. But the reason why the earth trembled, the earth rent, there was a great earthquake when our Lord died. And now, as our earth reacted in sorrow, but now the earth itself, the very creation that we walk on and live on, it rejoiced in the fact that God had sent his angel to roll away the tomb, the stone from that tomb, not to let our Lord out because he had already risen. But the earth trembled with and rejoiced because now you and I can look into the tomb and we can see that he is not there, he is risen. That our sin debt has been paid. The very earth was speaking to you and to me. And yet we sit here and we stand here so often as just dead lumps of flesh. God has risen, my dear brothers and sisters. He lives. He rolled that stone away so you and I could have hope. So that faith then, the proclaimed message of the gospel, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that message that is of the utmost importance, the only message that means anything in this world, that we could hear it and that we could see and we can believe, therefore being saved. As the word says, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And as we already said, the stone, God did that. He took care of that. But you know, Peter, the one who Mary was given special greetings, wasn't Peter? Yeah, Peter, the one who Mary had given special greetings to from Jesus, said, go and tell Peter, and the angels had told her to do that also. Peter writes so beautifully when he come to understand this. Peter was given a special greeting, and oh, how God loves you and me. Peter had denied Christ 3 times. And God says, tell Peter I have arose. But Peter writes in his first epistle, the first chapter, about the power of the resurrection. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just back up and take that word blessed, we could put it in this terms, all honor and all glory and all praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've already read from what Paul says, written by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, right from the very heart of God, that says, if God, Christ be not risen, you are yet in your sins. And Peter now writes that we have been begotten unto a lively hope. We now have a living hope because Jesus has risen from the dead to an inheritance. And then he goes on, this is the hope also what we hope in, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. We have an inheritance, my dear brothers and sisters, not like we get in this life. We have our inheritance and that passes away. We spend it, we use it up, and it's gone. But because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Those who believe the message of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus have an inheritance in heaven that is reserved there. It has your name on it, that is undefiled and incorruptible and that fadeth not away. And how are then we kept to that moment when we pass from time to eternity? Is it in what we do or what we accomplish? No, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. We can rejoice greatly this morning hour of God's grace, because through the finished work, through the risen Lord Jesus, we have a hope of life eternal, a hope that will never fade away. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. I want to go back to that stone just for a little bit. God sent his messenger, an angel from heaven, to roll away that stone. Angels, the word tells us, are ministering spirits. And you know, that's the same exact responsibility, you might say, or privilege that God has given to us. We are, as his children in this world, his messengers, his ambassadors, his ministering spirits. God has given us, or entrusted it to us, that great privilege to take that stone and roll it away. So we have a message, and the message we already talked about. It doesn't matter how great your sin is, there is hope. Because Jesus is risen. They had no hope at that moment until they noticed that the stone was rolled away. And then Jesus appeared unto them. But we have a message of hope, a message that will roll away any stone of doubt or unbelief. That yes, God has come into this world and he is crucified for your sin. Not just enough to pay your sin, but to pay it double. There is no sin so great that he will not forgive it. I don't care who you are or what Satan's telling you. So his ministering spirit rolled away the stone, and they saw it, and then they looked and they saw an angel sitting there in a white garment, and they were afraid. Yet our gospel tells us that there was two angels sitting there. One was sitting at the head and the other was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know what that means. I'm sure we could spiritualize it all day long. But there's one thought I had. And if you look at these two angels as they sat there, they were not sitting where our Lord laid. They were sitting one at the foot and one at the head. They had such great reverence and such great, they were in such great awe of their Lord. They wouldn't even sit where he had laid, but they sat one at the foot and one at the head. And you know, the Bible tells us that the angels desire to look into these things. I could just imagine those two angels sitting there and looking at each other and said, what is this that God has done for mankind? And that's why the angels even came in here on that first Christmas morn as they came to earth. And that one told the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then the word tells us that there was a great multitude of heavenly hosts that come out of heaven, singing and praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The angels marvel, and they desire to look into the great love that God has made known for you and for me. And I can see them sitting there just marveling over their Lord and their Creator and what he had done for you and for me. And as they were sitting there, these women came and looked in. And they told these women, this is why seek ye the living among the dead? God is not dead. He is alive, and he lives forevermore. Jesus tells us himself, some years after his resurrection, as he meets the beloved disciple on the Isle of Patmos, he says, I am he who was alive and was dead and am alive forevermore. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He created you, he has redeemed you, and he is the one who sustains you, and he is the one who has sent his spirit into you to lead you and to guide you as you walk through this life. Let us give him all honor and all glory. And then he goes on and he tells them, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. there shall you see him as he said unto you. And this is a message we have. Go and tell God's people that he goes before you into Galilee. And I just loved it the other weekend when our brother Ray Stenerson was down in Hawkinson. I'd never heard this explained this way. And I had to say amen as he was talking, as he was preaching about this verse. He says, go and tell them that you can go home. Go back to Galilee where you live, but I go before you. I thought that was really beautiful. God says, wherever you go, I am there before you. I have gone and prepared a place for you, as he tells us, our Lord. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter, I'll turn there real quick and read a verse from there. This prophet tells us, as he's speaking to his people, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and a valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. We talked about the valley of Achor the other day. It is the valley of trouble. It's where we are right now, where we're living. It's in the areas here in the Tri-Cities, down in Vancouver and Battleground, wherever we might go in this world, up to Spokane, wherever you are from, we are in the valley of trouble. Because this world has its troubles, because sin has entered into the world. But he says, I am going to make the valley of Achor a place where you can lie down in. And I just want to say, it's where you live. It's your home. He says, go to where you live, and I will go before you. And I'll be with you there. And you can trust in me. Again, turning back to the most known psalm in the Bible. David understood this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew who his Lord was, and I shouldn't say was. David knew who his Lord is. And this is a message he has for us this resurrection day. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were affrighted. The message just overwhelmed them, and they didn't know what to do. And now it goes on. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. We remember the story of Mary meeting our Lord. She did not recognize him until he called her by name. He said, Mary. And then she called him my Lord and my Master. She understood who he was. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus called her by name. He knew who she was, even though she may not have known who he was. There are times and there are places in this life as we go through this world that we forget who he is. Let's be honest with ourselves. We say we're a child of God, but we have really forgotten who he is. But he has never forgotten you. He knows your name, and he's calling you by name today. And oh, that you could answer as Mary answered. God can't forget your name. The prophet Isaiah tells us so clearly that a mother may forget her child who she's nursed at her breast. To me, that's just for most of you women here, I'm sure all of you, it's just hard for you to comprehend. How is that possible? But it is. But that same prophet goes on and tells us, but I cannot forget you. It's because he is engraving your names in the palms of his hands. And our Lord, every time he looks at his hands, as he is reigning there in heaven above with our Creator, he sees your name there. And he knows that he died for you. He cannot and he will not forget you. And I said, he's calling your name. There's a song that we sing, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's watching and waiting, waiting for you and for me. I see him standing there in the portals of heaven with his arms stretched out, looking out over the world, and he's calling our names. Then we go on. And she went and told them that they had been with him, and they mourned as they mourned and wept. She had wonderful news, but they didn't believe her. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared unto another form, unto two of them which walked and went into the country, the two on the road to Emmaus. And he told them marvelous things. And he revealed himself, and they didn't know who he was either, until he revealed himself unto them. God desires to reveal himself unto you and to me. And they hurried back from Emmaus, back to Jerusalem, and told the residue, as our text says, and they didn't believe them either. The sad state of man's reality. We are so doubtful and so full of unbelief so often. But this morning, hour of God's grace, I pray that each and every one of you who's sitting here and whoever may be listening, and all men everywhere around this world, would come to this one true knowledge. The only thing that really matters in this world, and that is that there is only one God. And there's only one mediator between God and mankind. And that is the man who has risen, the man Christ Jesus. Believe it, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, and give him all honor and all glory and all praise in his holy and righteous name. Amen.